In the world news headlines this morning, Putin says he's willing to talk with President-elect Trump. Meanwhile, in Ukraine, President Zelensky has denounced calls for a ceasefire without security guarantees. He's calling them nonsense. Let's go to Ukraine and Joseph Lindsley and find out what is going on. Joe, what are your sources telling you?
Well, Bob, hello from Kyiv. And as I'll tell you in a few moments, there were Russian attacks throughout the country, which is now happening in cities throughout Ukraine every single day, these drone attacks in many different cities. And I'll make sure to mention that. But on this question of negotiations, a few things to look at. One, the Joe Biden State Department spokesman said that the United States would support Zelensky if he chose to negotiate with Moscow. And it's interesting that right now that's a message from the White House and from the State Department. And I think, you know, the White House is very clear that they're open to negotiations. But what they're not clear about is when reporters ask, hey, will you give Ukraine permission to strike deep into Russia? Will you give Ukraine permission to use American weapons and British weapons and other weapons to hit bases within Moscow? Whenever the White House is asked that question, they do not have a clear answer. But when they're asked about negotiations, they say sure. And then sort of in the same way, we see this plan being pushed right now, I think being tested by people close to Trump for some kind of negotiation where there would be a deal where European and British security forces would protect all of Ukraine that is not currently occupied. Ukraine would agree for 20 years not to be part of NATO. And so while everyone else is discussing this, then there's the other matter of the Ukrainians, who are the people who are fighting now and who refuse to surrender. And a couple of hours ago, I met with a Ukrainian named Mustafa Nayim. He was born in Afghanistan, actually, and grew up in Ukraine. You know, when Afghanistan and Ukraine were both under Moscow tutelage during the Soviet Empire. And Mustafa Nayim became a leader in 2014 of Ukraine's Revolution of Dignity. He was one of, you know, the Ukrainians saw that the government in Kyiv, which back then they were basically puppets of Putin, that they were trying to bring Ukraine more into the orbit of Moscow and away from Europe. And people began to flood the main square here in Kyiv starting in October of 2013 up through February 2014. And Mustafa Nayim was one of the first people to really push to get people in the streets. He sent a now famous tweet saying, bring your tea, bring your umbrellas, and go to the main square. And so I was talking with him today about what that revolution was like. And he was describing to me how in the last days of the revolution, in February of 2014, that the American officials, European officials, they were here in Kyiv and they were trying to calm the situation down. And the European and American officials thought that they got the Yanukovych regime. So Yanukovych was the president of Ukraine then. They got him to agree to some kind of deal where there would be elections sometime within a year. And so the foreign officials thought, okay, now we have peace. And the people in the streets said no. They said, well, no, we're done with this. We already had to survive Moscow tyranny during Soviet times and long before that. And the people said, this is our moment. And so today I spoke with one of the, you know, sort of citizen leaders of that revolution, who later became a member of parliament, and saying that, you know, so they've seen this so often when European and American leaders, you know, in the interest of trying to keep some kind of peace, will push for negotiations to make a deal with the overlords. And the Ukrainian people consistently say, no, that's not what they're doing, especially now, after 2.5 years of this full scale war where so many have died and so many heroes from the Maidan Revolution have already died in battle. And so I think, this gets missed a lot in the news coverage and in the conversations. But what did the Ukrainian people think? What do they want? And, there's still very little indication that they're willing to surrender. And I look at, as I've seen a lot of the news reports on the American elections on all different channels, from Fox to CNN and everything, you know, I see all the pundits, even Fareed Zakaria, CNN and everyone saying, oh, this must be Trump's election must be devastating for the people in Kyiv. And as I've reported the past days, it's not the case. People at least see the chance that a change could turn things around. But that doesn't mean that they like sort of the current Trump thinking about Ukraine. And I think the challenge these next weeks for Ukrainians is to make sure their voice is heard in these moments. And, you know, it's interesting that even like there was a popular Polish TV personality and reporter who I know who interviewed President Trump a few weeks ago. And so for some reason, like the Poles and people from other countries are able to, you know, to be there, you know, to have a voice with the people around Trump. And still the Ukrainians are absent from that. There's no, you know, besides Zelensky, you know, and even then there's really just not a Ukrainian presence in those conversations. So that is a big challenge for Ukraine these next weeks.
Yeah, it'll be a very interesting few weeks. And then when we get to the beginning of the Trump administration, no doubt about that. I have an email for you, Joseph. Good morning, Bob. Joe Lindsley's Instagram piece about why he is in Ukraine was very moving and almost enough to make me want to move there. But luckily, I'm allergic to high explosives. I hope and pray that others will follow Joe and help the cause in any way possible. That's from Dave in Hammond, Indiana. How can people see that Instagram, Joe?
You can follow my account at JP Lindsley, LINDSLEY. And I explained how I got sort of stuck here in the pandemic. I had bad asthma my whole life, and I didn't want to get COVID, and because of that I also didn't want to take a vaccine. And this is a place where you were free to do, as you know, Ukraine was one of the freest countries in the world during that time, and my health improved. I no longer take medicine, and so this is as we look at what Trump has got Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to make America healthy again, Ukraine still has this incredible healthy food. It's not tainted by chemicals. And so Ukraine sort of saved me during that time. And that's part of the reason why I've stayed here every single day. And Bob, I'd be remiss not to mention that in the attacks last night, the Russians hit Kharkiv City with glide bombs. And for the second time in a few weeks, they've hit the most iconic building in Kharkiv, the Dzhokhov building. It really, you know, Hitler, you know, refused to hit Paris because he wanted to preserve its beauty. But now the fact that Putin is hitting the most beautiful sites in Kharkiv might be a sign of desperation. They also they killed people in apartment buildings in Kharkiv, the Russians did, and also in the city of Zaporizhia. Very intense attacks. Almost an entire family was wiped out. And in the attacks yesterday, the Russians, with one of their drones, which are now armed with these new thermobaric sort of significantly increased explosives on these drones, they hit the residence of the Estonian ambassador here in Kyiv. Usually the embassies don't get hit. And so this is a new, we're seeing maybe some kind of new desperation from Russia these past 48 hours.
Sounds very intense for sure. And a reminder that at WGNRadio.com, we have the links to Joseph Lindsley's various social media platforms. Joe, that's quite a remedy for asthma, being in the Ukraine war. I don't know if I would recommend that, but I'm glad you're feeling better anyway, and I hope you have a peaceful weekend.
Thanks, Bob. Until Monday.